I am a God who is faithful. I am your God. I am he who has called you. I am he who has anointed you. For this season, this time, you have power to transform your surroundings, to transform this city, to transform this nation. You have been given a mandate and an assignment from heaven. You have been anointed to fulfill the place that I have chosen for this house and this city. You are a part of a tapestry to show forth the glory of my Son. It is not for you to be lifted up, but it is because you are lifted up that my Son will be glorified. When you set your mind to know and to see and to do what I have called you to do with the purpose of seeing the King of Kings and Lord of Lords made Lord wherever you set your feet, then shall you see the nations arise to the glory of the kingdom of God. You have a purpose, and it's greater than anything that you have ever done. You have a purpose to fulfill that was in your bloodline from the day I created you. You have been formed for greatness. You have been formed to walk in power. You have been formed to walk in the authority of the word. Rise up, my children. Know that you are not a common people, but you are extraordinary because my glory and my power has been set upon you to do great and mighty things. Don't see a common man, a common woman. Don't even see a common child. But realize that I am called and I am a representative of heaven. And what anyone has done, you will do greater. You have been called. Rise up. Rise up and fulfill your purpose.
Morning. Can you hear me okay? All right. Well, what God just shared through Sister Gail is a great segue into the message this morning. This morning we're talking about open doors of evangelism. Open doors of evangelism. God has divine appointments and open doors for you to walk through. They were prepared before you were born. They have been prepared from the foundation of the world. Good works for you to walk in that God has ordained. And it's by his grace that you come to them, that you walk through them, but you do have to be obedient to his spirit. Amen. That when he shows you the door and he says, that one right there, that you're obedient to go to that one right there. When he says, at this time, we have to be obedient to do it at that time and at that season and not at our own time. But open doors of evangelism are important because you can approach evangelism from anyone and everyone I see or the Spirit of the Lord said, that one right there. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, it says, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it. Prayer keeps your mind in the right place. It keeps you alert. When Jesus was in the garden, he said to his disciples, could you not keep watch with me for even an hour? There's something about prayer that allows you to keep watch and stay alert as to what's going on around you so you can take advantage of every opportunity and be in the place that you need to be. When you're watching the news, it's important to pray when the Holy Spirit leads you to. Why? So you're just not being dumped on, but you're being alert and watchful as to what's going on in the earth so that you can pray the right thing and declare the right thing. But it says, devote yourselves to prayer. In verse 3, praying at the same time for us as well. So Paul says, be in prayer, and as you're in prayer, pray for us. Pray for me. Pray for the team that's with me. Pray what? Pray for us that God will open to us a door. That God will open to us a door. Why would Paul say, pray that God would open to us a door? Well, because at that moment, there was not a door. And if there was not a door, I'm not going to create one. If there's not an opportunity, I'm not going to create an opportunity. And if there's no door open, I'm not going to kick it in. Because we are spirit-led people. And he says that God will open to us a door for what? For the word. You can share the word and reach out to others when you feel like it. Or you can share the word and reach out to others as the Spirit of God directs you to, and as he shows you the doors that he's opened up for you to walk through. There are people that God has ordained to be reached by you. And there are people that God has not ordained to be reached by you. And if you're not sensitive to the Holy Spirit, you may inoculate someone so that when the person that is supposed to reach them comes, they don't want to hear it because of the way you approach them. Because it wasn't God, it was you. So he says that God will open to us a door for the word so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ. We need a door, an open door, a platform to share the word. For which I have been imprisoned, that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. When you have an open door and you're walking through the doors that God has ordained for your life, it's a clear encounter. God gives you the words to speak. He gives you the things to say, and you're able to say it clearly so that it resonates with the person that you're sharing it with, because they are ordained of God to receive from you as a vessel. And so God wants your speech to be clear, not confusing. Jesus said, don't worry about what you're going to say before the time. In that moment, God will give you what you are to say. That I might make it clear in the way I ought to speak. And then he says, evangelism is not just about who I can preach the word to. He says it's also about being a witness with your lifestyle. That it's not just what you say, but it's how you live out the gospel of the kingdom in front of others that can be a light and draw them to God. So he says, conduct yourselves with wisdom towards outsiders. with wisdom, with insight and understanding. There is a wise way to approach a non-believer to share with them the gospel. And there is an unwise way. The wise way is being led of the Spirit, listening to God, and walking through the open door. And starting, as Damon mentioned, I believe, last week, with where they are, maybe it was Ken, but starting with where they are, meeting them where they are, to take them where God wants them to be. We have a mandate from our Lord and Savior, Yeshua, to preach and display the gospel to others and to make disciples of all nations. As this happens and people receive him, churches are populated. And as this happens in our sphere of influence, this house will be populated as well. There are many facets of evangelism, like a diamond. You turn a diamond at one angle, you see one thing. You turn it at another angle, you see something else. There are many facets and many layers to explore. This morning, we're just talking about one facet of evangelism. But there are many layers to it. There are many facets to it. And as God is drawing our attention to the importance and priority of evangelism, to reaching out to others, ministering life to others, sharing Christ with others, there is something to keep in mind about open doors, about strategy and wisdom when it comes to evangelism, when it comes to reaching out to others. I have a rhetorical question for you. You don't have to answer it publicly. How many of you welcome and embrace the thought of walking up to a complete stranger and asking them if they know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? Some people have a fear of doing that, a trepidation of walking up to a complete stranger and asking them, do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Do you go to church? Now, I have another question for you. It's rhetorical. How many of you welcome and embrace the thought of someone coming up to you and saying, what must I do? Asking you, what must I do to be saved? Many believers are apprehensive about walking up to a complete stranger and asking them if they know Jesus. Here's the thing. Most believers don't have a problem sharing the gospel with non-believers. As a matter of fact, they relish it. What they have a problem with is uninspired, unled interaction with people that they perceive will not receive it, will not listen to it, and don't want to hear it. It's a natural thing, and even telemarketers deal with this. Most people hate the thought of telemarketing because they are calling a complete stranger with no introduction to offer them something that they're not sure that they even want. Right. And have no way of knowing. I've had my fair share of telemarketing jobs to make ends meet, to do what I had to do at that time. I hated it because I was calling people that didn't want to be called to share with them a product they didn't want Now, I did convince and persuade a couple of people. But by and large, a lot of people hung up in my face. I didn't have a problem with the product. I thought it was a good product. My problem was with the approach. There was no open door. And so you'll find some believers who are just genuinely afraid. But by and large, most believers relish in being able to share the gospel with someone. They just want to know that that someone is going to listen and wants to hear. And so having an open door is God's way of introducing you to that person to receive from you. Jesus had an open door. God introduced Jesus to the nation of Israel through John the Baptist. When he was baptized, there was a voice that came out of heaven that said, "This is my son in whom I am well pleased." And they heard it. Why? Because God was introducing him to his sphere of influence. Open doors give you an opportunity to walk through, and people sense. They don't know up here, but they know down here, there's something you got that I need. I had someone walk up to me at work many years ago and ask me to pray for them. I did not know this person. They said, "I know that you're a prayer warrior." Well, first off, I'm not a prayer warrior. I do declare the word of God. Secondly, I asked myself, how does she know I'm a prayer warrior? I had never met this person, but they were dealing with something, and they asked if I would pray about it. What bigger introduction do I need than that? It's a very minimal example, but it was an open door that I didn't create on my own. God created it. I used to spend time on the drag Guadalupe Street off the campus of the University of Texas, sharing the gospel with people walking up and down the street. And over the years, I'm sure I personally talked with dozens upon dozens of people and tried as effectively as I could to share the gospel with those that were walking by. Most didn't want to hear it and tried to avoid me. I have stood on street corners and shared tracts and passed out tracts to people. Some of them took them. Some of them said, "No, thank you." Some of them, you would walk down the street and see it balled up and thrown away on the street. I have gone into clubs, party clubs. Not the men's club of... I have gone into clubs and randomly shared the gospel with people. And my batting average at those moments was less than stellar. As a matter of fact, I really can't remember many meaningful interactions at those times because I was trying to fulfill the mandate But I was not led of the Spirit, nor was I walking through an open door. But when I have an open door, I had someone come visit me who wanted to talk to me. We were talking in my living room, and the conversation started to go one direction, and it was supernatural. It was a God divine moment. And I began to share the gospel with them emphatically, passionately, and it was not me. They were all ears. They were listening. They received Christ as their Lord and Savior in my living room. They started crying. This person who had never cried before, had ever been sensitive to the things of God, started crying, started raising their hands up to the Lord, had never raised their hands up to the Lord before. What was going on? It was their time, their season. It was a divine appointment, and I was the one that God wanted to use. I had someone else come visit me. When I walked into my apartment, they were already there. I hadn't seen this person in years. I said, "Hello, what are you doing here?" He said, "I need to talk to someone." I had all these books. Back then, I was broke. Well, no, I wasn't broke. I didn't understand prosperity. So I didn't have much. So all my books were on a trunk. All the books that I was reading. And he had been in my room looking through my books. And he said, "I need that." Well, what more of a door do I need here to share the gospel? I had another instance where I shared the gospel with someone that was going through something, and they received Christ as their Lord and Savior. And I began having Bible studies with them because I didn't want to just catch them. I wanted to catch them and clean them. So I began having Bible studies with them for weeks. We would have Bible studies 1 hour, 2 hours, sometimes go into 3 hours, and we would meet together, and I would share with them the things I knew about Jesus, share with them the things of God with them. This person came from a party background, was used to going out clubbing on the weekends, Friday nights, Saturday nights. One day, as we were about to start the Bible study, they said, "I need to talk to you about something." I said, "Okay." They said, "I probably shouldn't have, but I went to the club last weekend and something happened." I said, "What happened?" They said, "I couldn't do anything. I went, I dressed like I normally dress, interacted or tried to interact with the people I normally interact with, tried to dance, but couldn't do anything." I said, "Well, what'd you do?" They said, "I just stood up against the wall the whole time I was there. I didn't have peace about being there." I said, "Well, that was God. You have a new nature. You have new desires that don't resonate with your old life." Here's the thing. I hadn't talked to her about lifestyle. I hadn't been teaching on sin. I had been teaching on him. And the closer she got to him, him dealt with sin. So many people are trying to walk free of things, and they're focusing on the thing instead of focusing on him. When you focus on your relationship with him, he will deal with the stuff. But these were divine appointments, divine moments. There was a time I was on the Capital Metro bus. I was sitting towards the back, and there were a group of people back there, maybe about 12 people. And I just stood up and started sharing the gospel while the bus was moving on the back of the bus. God loves you. Jesus is Lord. You need to get saved. On and on and on for a few minutes. They just looked at me like I was crazy. Why did they look at me like I was crazy? Because there was no open door. There was no basis for this conversation or for this interaction other than me. There was no, and God said, do this. There was no leading of the Spirit. I just did it. And at the end of it, I gave an altar call. Now, I was bold, I was zealous, but I was ineffective at that moment. Why? Because there was no open door for me to walk through. There was no platform, no introduction of any kind for me to stand on. There wasn't even a unction here that the Holy Spirit said, go and do this. I just did it. I quickly begin to realize that when you're just doing stuff with evangelism, people will say what you want them to say. They will pray what you want them to pray if they know they're going to get something monetarily after it. There was one man I prayed with on the drag to receive Jesus. He prayed, had him pray the sinner's prayer. And then he immediately wanted to go to Wendy's. I took him to Wendy's and got him a meal. And we sat and we talked. He ordered a lot of stuff. Now, I didn't have that much money, but he ordered a lot of stuff, and he got a salad. Wow. He looked at me and says, is that okay? I'm the man of God. What am I going to say? No, you can't have that? But I don't know. Maybe a seed was planted. Maybe God brought somebody by his path later at another time, but as I walked back home, God just began to deal with me that he just wanted something. And he was willing to say whatever you wanted him to say and pray whatever you wanted him to pray to get what he wanted. Not everyone who prays the sinner's prayer receives Jesus. That's why I don't do altar calls that say, for those of you who prayed this prayer, Jesus is now your Lord. No, not necessarily. Just because they prayed that prayer doesn't mean that Jesus is their Lord. My mindset is, for those of you who received Jesus when you prayed that prayer, Jesus is now your Lord. But I begin to realize that people will jump through hoops and do whatever you want them to do to get something out of it when it's not God. But then I've also found moments, divine appointments, Spirit-led interactions where lives were changed. The gospel was received, and at a minimum, a significant seed was planted, but you sensed that it was a meaningful interaction. I've got a lot of other stories, but I won't go into them. I have had people walk up to me out of nowhere, ask me, what do you think about this? And I tell them. Open doors are better than going it alone. Divine appointments and opportunities are better than going it alone. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. In verse 9, Paul had been communicating to the church of Corinth about his travel plans, and he said, I'm going to stay in Ephesus for a little while longer. Why? For a wide door for effective service or effective ministry has been opened to me, and I'm going to capitalize on this moment right now, right here. We're told, make the most of every moment. Make the most of every opportunity. Seize it. Know when God has opened a door and said, this arena, this person, this area. He said, God has opened to me a wide door of service. And there are many adversaries who don't want me to exploit it, who don't want me to do it, but it's a God thing. God has opened the door, and I am walking through the door that God has opened. Second Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. It's Brother Steve. And okay. You have okay. Go ahead and start passing those out. The men of valor are putting something in your hands. You don't need to look at it right now, but we'll take a look at it at the end of the message. And I just realized that I gave my only copy away, so I need a copy. Thank you. Appreciate it. Okay. Back to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. Now, when I came to Troas for the gospel of Christ, why did he go there? He went there for the gospel of Christ, and when a door was opened for me in the Lord. When a door, he uses the word when. He didn't do it before. He didn't do it after. He did it when. When a door was opened for me in the Lord, that's when he began to take action. When a door for me was opened in the Lord. You are in the Lord, and there are doors that God has for you to walk through. There are people that God has ordained for you to reach. There is a harvest of souls that God has ordained for us to reap, for us to bring into the kingdom. But not everyone is your mission, but some people are. You need to listen in your spirit as to who you're called to and when you're called to them. There are certain people, if you read your Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and the Gospels, that Jesus bypassed. He did not minister to them. Why? Because he said, I only do what I see my Father doing. I do the works he's given me to do, and I go to the people that he's called me to, and that's it. Because he himself said, there are different types of ground, and not everyone you share with is going to receive. There's only one type of ground that returns 30, 60, 100 fold. The other three types, they may endure for a while, but then they'll fall away. I would rather be that's a probably a bad example to use. Let me not say that. But there are strategic opportunities that God has for you. And Jesus went along with what God showed him and what God told him to do. But when God showed him, when God told him, when God opened the door, he went through it. He shared boldly, passionately. Some believers are waiting on God to do something. And God says, I've opened the door. I've shown you what to do. You just need to go do it. I've shown you who you should talk to, who you should reach out to. I've been putting them on your heart, and you've not done it yet. I've been putting them on your heart for a reason. You're called to them. Well, God, what am I going to say? Don't worry about what you're going to say. Take a step, open your mouth, and trust that God will fill your mouth with the right words. It could be a family member. It could be a coworker. It could be a friend. It could be a neighbor. But someone that God has put on your heart, the door is already there. They're primed and ready for you. You may even hear them say, I saw this happening. I'm not surprised. I've been wanting to talk to you. But I was scared. I was afraid. God has divine appointments for you. But it's important to not inoculate people that aren't yours because you want to do things randomly. Random acts of evangelism I have personally found to be ineffective. An activity does not necessarily mean impact. God-inspired activity will produce, whether it's now or later, not the candy, although I hadn't had one in a while. Whether it's now or later, if it's God-inspired, there will be an impact. You may be the one planting the seed right now. God will bring someone else across their path to water it, but God himself will bring the increase. It's not you, it's him in you. You are an ambassador, and God is reconciling the earth to himself through you, but you are just a vessel. Acts chapter 8. In verse 26, but an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, get up and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert road. So he got up and went. An angel of the Lord spoke to him, told him where to go. And he got up and went. He could have stayed there. But he got up and went because God told him to go. There was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. And he had come to Jerusalem to worship. Yes, you can worship even when you have money. And he was returning and sitting in his chariot and was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go up and join to this chariot. Now he has a platform. Philip ran up and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet. He heard him reading Isaiah the prophet. And that was his end. That was his end. You need to listen for your end. When you're having a conversation with someone, be listening in your spirit for your end. What are they saying? What could you capitalize on? How can you take where they are and bring it back to the truth? Bring it back to the gospel. Paul said in Colossians, we just read it, conduct yourself with wisdom towards those who are on the outside. Let your speech be seasoned with salt. Look for your end so you can be relevant to them. Philip picked up where he was. He picked up where he was, and starting from the point of where he was, he began to explain Christ. He began to explain Yeshua. He began to explain the gospel, but he met him where he was. Paul said, I've become all things to all men that I may win a few. That does not mean become like them. It means meet them where they are on the surface. Look for the end that God has given you. He said, how could I unless someone guides me? What more of an open door do you need? What more of an introduction do you need? I was playing basketball one time and we were waiting for a couple of guys to get there. I like playing pickup basketball, although I don't get a chance to play as much as I used to. I'm working on it. But I still like to do it whenever I get a chance. Y'all pray that Holly lets me go. No, I'm just kidding. Don't pray that prayer, please. I'm just kidding. Sort of. But I was out there and we were shooting around. And he said, are you a Christian? What more do I need? I didn't ask him to ask me that. But the Bible says, be ready at all times to give a defense for the gospel to anyone who asks you. When someone asks you, and not everyone's going to ask you, but when someone asks you, what more of an open door do you need? Hop on it. Because the Bible says, the word already says, be ready. When someone asks you, be ready to give an account. I begin to put more value on open doors and divine appointments than pray and spray. Because I found more meaningful results and more meaningful impact. But I did not use it as an excuse not to go. I used it as a stepping stone to get in line with God to have the most impact on the harvest that I could have. Understanding that I've got my piece, this person over here has their piece, this ministry over here has their piece, and we can all work together. Jesus said, pray that the Lord of the harvest would send laborers into his harvest. That means the harvest is ready. It's white for harvest. They're ready to come in. We just have to be led by the Spirit to the right people at the right time to reap the harvest that God has ordained for us. There are souls that have your name on them, that God has ordained. And by the grace of God, you will walk through those open doors in this time and in this season to reap those souls. He said, how could I unless someone guides me? Then he invited divine appointment. He invited. How many of you would like to be invited? Come to my house and tell us about this Jesus. We heard you talking about him. We see you living this way. We see you going to church every Sunday. Why do you do that? What more of an open door do you need? He invited Philemon to come and said, come up and sit with me. Come talk to me. These are divine appointments. These are open doors to share the gospel. Now, the passage of scripture he was reading was this. He was led as a sheep to slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he does not open his mouth. In humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who will relate his generation? For his life is removed from the earth. The eunuch answered Philip and said, please tell me, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or someone else? Then Philip opened his mouth. You have to open your mouth and say something. Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. And beginning from this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. And beginning from basketball, he preached Jesus to him. And beginning from music, he preached Jesus to him. And beginning from this industry that I'm in, that God has called me to, this sphere of influence that I work in, he preached Jesus to him. Starting from your platform that God has given you, he preached Jesus to him. You have an open door. Listen for it. Watch for it. You have a platform. Now, we're learning to be outward focused and not just inward focused. To reach outside the four walls. To reach outside just your home. And some of us, you may have not exercised that muscle in a while. Brian, how do I get started? I don't know where the open doors are yet. One of the things you can do is pray. You can pray evangelistic prayers. You can pray starting with your own household. Pray over your house. You can walk your neighborhood. Walk your streets. If you go out walking, you go out jogging, you can go praying over your neighborhood. My neighborhood, my subdivision is set apart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can pray when you get to work in the morning. If you want to arrive a little bit early when no one is there, this office is set apart for the gospel. What are you doing? You're keeping alert. You're keeping your mind trained to be focused outwardly and not just inwardly. You are preparing the ground for the gospel to go forth, whether it's you or something else. You are starting to exercise that evangelistic muscle through something that's pretty easy. And that is calling these arenas, calling your neighborhood, your family members who aren't redeemed yet, who don't know Christ, calling them in your prayer time, saying, Lord, they are set apart for the gospel. Use me, use whoever, bring people across their path to plant the seed, to reap the harvest. So to that end, what I've done is put in your hands a prayer of evangelism that you can pray anytime you get ready to make sure that you're exercising that muscle. It is just a tiny starting point if you are not yet extremely active in evangelism, but it starts to prime the pump. Get you in tune with the Holy Spirit so you can walk through the doors that God has called you to. So this is something that I regularly, frequently pray. And we're just going to read through it for now. It'll take some time for you to get it in your heart. So right now we'll declare it and pray it together. But how many of you have it in your hand? Wave it. All right. Good deal. All right. Who didn't get one? Brother Pastor Richard didn't get one. We have some extras? Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. We ready? Let's do it together. All right. Father, I thank you that you have called and ordained me to be a part of establishing your kingdom in the earth, bringing others to Christ and making disciples of all nations. I pray that your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I pray that you send laborers into your harvest to reap the souls of as many who will receive Christ. I am the salt of the earth, and I am a light that shines in the darkness. I am used of you to minister life, and that life more abundantly to those around me. I am empowered of the Holy Spirit to be your witness in my home, my neighborhood, my city, my state, my country, and to all the areas of the world you call me to. I have open doors, divine opportunities, and God-given platforms to testify of Jesus Christ and share him with others. I am led of your Spirit into those doors, and you give me the words to speak and things to say at the opportune time, and you prepare the hearts and minds of those you've called me to receive from you. My unredeemed neighbors, co-workers, friends, and family members are set apart for the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you deal with them and speak to them at the right time through the right people, revealing Jesus to them. Amen. So you can take this at any time and pray at the beginning of your day, at night before you go to bed, anytime. What are you doing? You're priming the pump of evangelism. This is a season where God will use many of you to lead others to Christ. God will use many of you to populate our church. We will do things as a church body, corporately. That'll get done because we said there are many facets to evangelism. I'm talking about individually. Individually, what the church does, we'll do together. But individually, day to day, errands, having to get up in the morning, having to do what you do, go to work. There is a mindset that you can keep through prayer that primes the pump and keeps you ready to give a defense. It keeps you sensitive to the Holy Spirit to walk through those doors that God has given you. Amen? Amen. Praise God. We are done.
Praise God. Good word. Are you equipped? Are you obedient? Then there should be no holdup. We go forward. We've been praying in our prayer meetings on Saturday night. We specifically called for the unity of the body and for the outreach, for being an impact in the city. And I think Brother Brian's message this morning was right in line, the message that Sister Gail gave. Spirit of God's up to something. And we are getting ourselves ready, not only as a body but individually, to be effective and impactive in the city of Austin and in our spheres of influence. Amen? That was a good word, brother. We appreciate it. And we know what happens now. We've been blessed with the Word of God. The Bible says that that when you receive spiritual things, you give in material things and financial things. So we're going to bless Brother Brian this morning with an offering. There's this bucket up here you can use after we dismiss. Bring your blessings and be a blessing to Brother Brian. But go ahead and stand with us now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for what we have heard this morning. We know that it is your word to us, and we receive it with thanksgiving. We call it into our hearts that it will not be stolen from us. We will guard that word. We will seal that word to ourselves that we will not be stolen from. We know the enemy will come immediately to steal, kill, and destroy and to try to steal that word, but we will not let it be stolen. We will hold on to it. We will grab hold. We will make it our life because your word is our life, Father God. And we thank you that it produces much fruit in our lives, Father God, in our day-to-day life, that you minister life and peace and joy to those around us and those that you have put in our path that we would cross paths with, that we would minister out of your love to them and their lives can be changed. We thank you for that, Father. We thank you for it, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you for this time that we've had together, Father, that we spend together in your presence. Blessed be your name. Thank you, Father. Thank you. We glorify you, Lord. We thank you. We've been fed by your word this morning, that we've been changed by your words this morning, Father God, and that we meditate on your word and we cause it to be transforming into our lives, Father God, that we are changed. We are different leaving here than we were when we got here because of your word being instilled and installed in our hearts, in our minds. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I call you blessed. You are led with the Spirit of God, led with favor, led with purpose. And everywhere you go, you are the light of God shining in the darkness, and the darkness has to flee, but the people are drawn to the light, and they come to you. Everywhere you go, and in everything that you do, you are blessed. You, works of your hands is prosperous and successful, and you are the sweet-smelling savor of the presence of God in every place. No weapon formed against you prospers, but you live in divine peace because you are taught of the Lord. Amen. You are blessed. Go with God.